Welcome to the Heart Zone, featuring George Cannon. This broadcast is a time of teaching and encouragement from Curwensville Christian Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us on the web at www.curwensvillechristian.org. And now for a message from the Heart Zone. Here's George Cannon.
I'm going to be starting a new series today. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Romans in the New Testament. And so we're going to start a journey. I've entitled this series, Understanding Your Faith. Now, why are we doing this? Why are we studying? So let me give you a little bit of background. So for the last few years now, let's say we go back to 2020, COVID. COVID's going to be indelibly etched in our minds because of its impact on our lives, our families, our culture, but it also had an impact on church. And I'm not going to talk about COVID. I'm just going to talk about what COVID revealed. COVID revealed to us in a sudden way what was already happening many years before that. And that is, we kind of lost focus. I'm not just talking about our church, but I'm talking about the church in general. Why do you say that, George? Well, like today, some of the biggest things, you may not be aware of it, but there is a third less people going to our churches than there used to be. So one out of three people who used to go to church have quit going to church. A significant portion of people are leaving the church, especially young people, anywhere from their teens up into the 30s. They're just like saying, I'm out of here. I don't want anything to do with it. Some of you have experienced that personally in your own families. Some of you are seeing that all around you, and you're seeing that there is a lack of interest in spiritual things. Add to that mix a culture where there is an upheaval right now. So we just went through, and we still are somewhat, a period of political upheaval. And everybody's just kind of like, whoa, can't take this anymore. And then it's like, but yet, the problem is that politics has transferred itself over into churches to where now Christianity is equated with politics, plus everything else that's going on. And so there's this state of confusion that's going on, and I've been recognizing it, and I've been wondering, what can I do as a pastor? And then the realization is, I can only focus on what God's given me, which is our church family, who is called the Curwensville Christian Church. And so what I realized is that we're in a state of confusion. Now, what do I mean? I've got a couple points I want to make here. First of all, we are overwhelmed by conflicting messages concerning Christianity. Whenever you hear anybody talk about Christianity today, take a number. What do you mean, take a number? There's just multitudes of viewpoints. Some, you might talk to somebody and they're just focused on the whole political aspect. But when you talk to people, that's what they think Christianity is. It's a political force. Talk to other people, they talk about Christianity, they're confused, they think it's a social justice movement. We should be fighting for social justice for this oppressed group or whatever. And don't get me wrong, those are all good things. But that's not primarily what the church and Christianity is about. Doing good is one thing, but we live in an evil world that is against God, so there is a focus that we need to have, and that's what Christianity is about. But we have that confusion going on. We also have the confusion going on where they view the church, they view Christianity in terms of just a bunch of moral people who are judgmental about everybody else, who want to tell everybody else how to live. But then, here's the dirty little secret, we find out that they don't live that way. So there's a confusion going on. And you've got this person saying it's this, and this person saying it's that. And when you talk to people and you ask them what they believe, well, here it is. Second thing, personal faith has been reduced to simplistic formulas and rituals. So if you talk to a person today and ask him, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Their reply is, well, I prayed a prayer when I did this. And that's it. They focus on a prayer. Or I got baptized. Or I give. Or I volunteer. I do this. I read my Bible 3 times a day. I pray this many times. I'm in church every time the door is open. And we're confused. We reduce it down to ritualistic things that we do and simplistic formulas. So when we share the gospel with people, we don't really tell them what's going on and why they need Jesus. We just tell them, pray this prayer, you'll be okay. And so they'll pray that prayer, because if you tell somebody, do you want to go to heaven or hell? Who wants to go to hell? And so we have this confusion. So how does somebody like me try to address that? How does that somebody like me try to help you in this world of confusion? Well, there's only one thing I can do, and that's teach. Show you from God's word. So what we have in Romans is a letter that Paul is writing to a group of people he has never met. He's never met them. He wants to go visit them. And what he does in the letter is he introduces his whole belief system of what Christianity is. And he methodically lays it out from what the problem is with humanity to what the solution is, faith, how that is experienced in our lives through justification, sanctification. And then he goes on and talks about how we live. We no longer need to be confused about what Christianity is. Is it a political thing? Is it a social justice thing? Is it this or that? Is it legalism? Is it this, that, or another? We can see what it is and realize that what it comes down to is faith. And that's why we're entitling this message today, It's More Than a Service. I mean, hopefully you understand your faith and walk with Jesus is more than this service. It's more than this church. It's more than a set of beliefs. It's Jesus. That's what faith is about. It's about Jesus in you. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at Paul introducing it to us and helping us understand. So I want you to notice with me, we're going to focus on verses 8 through 17. You say, what about the first 7 verses? Well, the first 7 verses are a traditional greeting of Paul, where he gives some truths there, but I want to focus on what he's saying here in verses 8 through 17. Here's what Paul writes. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request that if by some means now at last may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, that you may be established. That is, that you may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I've often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you, just as among other Gentiles. I'm a debtor to both Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. All right, folks, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this passage, and we're going to really divide it into 2 sections. We're going to see, first of all, Paul's intentions, what he wants to do. I'm going to take the apostle's intentions here with this series, and I want that to be where we're going with this series as we look at this over the next few months. And then we're going to look at what the gospel is. Because to be honest with you, you know what Christianity is, folks? Christianity isn't all that other stuff I was talking about that's confusing us. Christianity is the gospel. And what's the gospel? Jesus Christ. Bottom line, Jesus Christ. That's the good news. All right? Good news isn't how you get to live a good life. The good news is a person. All that other stuff is just byproduct. So let's talk about Paul's intention. Here's the first one. I want you to notice with me verse 11. Here's what he says. For I long to see you. All right, so he's expressing his desire here that he wants to see them. That I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Now, what's he talking about, some spiritual gift? Well, in the book of Acts, when he's in Ephesus, he meets a guy and he says, have you received the gift of the Spirit? Have you received the gift? What gift? I don't know of the Spirit. And so he's imparted the Spirit of God. So he wants to make sure that they have the Spirit of God. Why? So that they are what? That you may be established. Now here's the point. Paul's desire was to see them established in their faith. He wants them to be established in their faith. Folks, my desire for you is that you are established in your faith. Now what does that mean, George? Faith, isn't that a set of beliefs? Listen to me, it's more than that. I'm not talking about you just being established in a set of doctrine that we all repeat and say, yes, I agree with that, and we sign doctrinal statements or whatever. I want you to be established in your faith in Christ, to be sure of it. What do you mean, be sure of it? Okay, take a difficult day in your life. When you do wrong, first thing that enters into your mind is God doesn't love you anymore. You start questioning, oh, I did this, I messed up, God's looking at me differently. You're not established. Hey, how about not just that? How about everything goes wrong? Maybe that was the week you just had, where life pours on you, one problem after another, and you're like, mercy, I've had enough. But yet you're thinking in your mind, God, you don't love me. God, you must be mad at me. God, you're trying to get me. God, you're dropping a hammer on me. I'm telling you right now, those kind of thoughts reveal something. You're not established. You're not established in your faith. And I'm going to tell you, let me explain something to you. Faith here is not, when we talk about you being established in your faith, faith is not that you hold the right doctrines. That's the faith. But your faith goes beyond that. Your faith goes to what you believe about Jesus and about God. And the trust you have in him. Why do you think Jesus in the Gospels will say, when you come unto me as a little child? Perfect illustration of faith, right? Do you remember your kids? When they were small, what did they think you could do? Everything. Right? When they're a child, they believe you could do everything, right? Paul wants them to be established in their what? Faith in Jesus. Faith in God. Trust in the Lord. That's what it's about, folks. He wanted them to be established. Now, here, why? Here's the thing. Because here's the thing. He wanted to share in the mutual encouragement of their joint faith. The mutual encouragement. Look with me at verse 12. I wrestled with this because, like, what is he talking about here? Look with me. He says, that is that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. He wanted them to be established in their faith, that is, their trust and their love for God, so that he could have the mutual encouragement of when they come together, their faith encourages his faith as his faith encourages them. Can I tell you something, folks? If you want to, write it down in your notes. The church. That's what church is supposed to be about. It's about believers coming together and what? Encouraging each other in our what? Faith. Mutual encouragement. But man, somehow, you know, I've been around a long time, okay? I've been around a long time. I'm 56 years old. I came to Christ as a 19-year-old. I've seen some ugly things in church. I've been in church where ugliness happened. And the reality is, it wasn't for mutual encouragement, was it? If anything, you didn't even want to go. But you went because I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about a gathering of people together. He wanted to be with them so they could mutually encourage each other. That's when we come together, folks. We're not. It's more than a service. It's not just showing up here to hear what George has to say this week. You're showing up here to be with each other and establish relationships with each other so that if you're going through it, you can say to somebody you trust, hey, pray for me. It's been a rough week. I'm hurting. And I'm struggling right now. And somebody can come alongside of you and say, hey, I'm praying for you. You hang in there. You hang in there because he got me through my thing. He'll get you through yours. That's mutual encouragement, isn't it? That's Paul's intention. His intention was to establish them in their faith so that they could what? Have mutual encouragement. So how does he get there? Where do we go with that? He gets to the heart of the issue. Really, you want to know what Christianity is? Christianity is the gospel. And so that's where we're going to spend the rest of our time. Talking about the gospel. So I want you to notice with me what he says starting in verse 16. If you go back one verse, verse 15, here's what he says. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are also in Rome. So he's ready to preach to them the gospel. So hold on. What's he ready to preach to them? He's ready to preach to them Jesus. Get that in your mind. The gospel is Jesus. He's getting ready. He wants to preach to them, not have a doctrinal study, not have here's a systematic theology course that you could take. He's not there just preaching his opinion. He's there preaching the gospel, Jesus. Why? So here's what he says, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He's not ashamed by it. Here's the first thing I want you to see. The gospel is not something to be ashamed of. Man, what a reminder. Because too oftentimes, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm turning on the TV, and I'm awfully embarrassed.